Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to Strength to Be Human. This is episode number 33, Music of the Right. I know, it's a fun play on words, but you know, the Phantom Opera actually has some topic in this entire show, which is really about how music can be used to inspire us, how oftentimes it's part of the creative process for writers. They use it as the background. Sometimes people use it as a way to even help them get out of writer's block, or just to get through a stubborn area to get over to the next section of what they want to do. Something that's a minor obstacle, but enough to be a pain in the neck. So music is a great deal a part of that. Now let's think about it. Since the beginning of time that we can record, music has been a big part of things for people. They figured out how to strum things together. Music is mathematics. It's the definite composition of sounds and tones that seems to open a door for us. Sometimes people think it's a spiritual door. Other times it's a psychological door. Maybe it's both. I couldn't say one way or the other, but I do believe that it has a serious effect on us. And I don't know if you want to call it magical or not, but it's definitely something that affects human beings. So it is something that's part of who we are. It is something we were made to create. It's something that maybe come out from outside the galaxy. I mean, think about it right now. There's a spaceship hailing towards another galaxy. It has a gold disc on it, and that's from us. Music from some of our greatest composers said that if an alien civilization met that spaceship, they know something about us, that we knew math, that we do some music. You know, we got some pictures there. It gives us a good idea about us. So for them to include that in there, this shows you how important that music is to mankind. And like they say, music will soothe the savage breast. Yes, I know. It's not savage beast. That was a misquote. It's savage breast. But I think there was a point in our time where you couldn't say breast, so you had to say beast. But maybe it's the same notion at the end, that it calms people down. You all know as parents, if any of you are parents, that oftentimes when you run out of things to do with the baby, the bottle, the hugging them, the bouncing them, the throw some toys on them, TV shows, whatever, just to get them to sleep, sometimes music was the thing that just knocked them right out. So I can recall, if many of you can't, how it certainly saved my sanity and my sleep and maybe even a bit of my life, because I was starting to lose it there, not getting a lot of sleep, and then the baby screaming all over the place. So music definitely helped. It might have been some corny, juvenile, hinky-jinky music, but hey, it still worked, and there is something to be said for its magical powers. Now, I'm not here to promote any artist or another artist. I'm just going to give you as an example the ones I've used that helped me, okay? I prefer to not listen to some girl or some dude singing all over the place. That kind of messes up my whole creative vibe, so whenever I'm doing something musical, it's always instrumental. Okay, I like Mike Oldfield. He does a lot of instrumental stuff. I know he's been known for the guy that did the themes to The Exorcist. That's kind of spooky, but it's positive too if you think about it. But he does other things that's not so spooky, all right? Vangelis, a huge part of my repertoire in terms of the music. Love everything that guy does on the keyboards, all the different things he brings into it. He's a real intellectual. He's out there exploring. It's a good way to help me explore. Get some Vangelis on the CD player and let's rock out, okay? Some people like more instrumental music that's sort of like, I wouldn't call it new age or space age, but, you know, it could be just a bit out there, like Tangerine Dream, something that's really out there. A lot of folks like the minimalist Philip Glass over in England. That's an interesting fellow over there doing some important work. But in the end, Even if it is somebody that's singing a song with the music, if that's really what's going to help you, then do it. I don't like that, because I'm wound up trying to listen to the person sing stuff for the lyrics, and then I screw up everything I'm trying to do. So that's why I don't like it. It to me, it'd be a distraction. For others, maybe that's their thing, you know. But there is something very special about it. I think many writers, if they're not contemplating other worlds, other galaxies, other thoughts, sometimes just to get themselves out of where they're at, it is music that helps them. And in many ways, it's the drug without taking a drug, because it can be very hypnotic. It's not an accident that music is used for so many different things in history. You find music being used in all kinds of religious rituals from the pre-Christian, you know, folks banging on drums and flutes and stuff everywhere from England to America. And then, of course, the Christian tradition, when they're using it in choirs and they're using it to elevate the mood and maybe open more doors to the spiritual context of whatever sermon is being offered that day. Music is real important for that. I hear more and more that a lot of doctors, surgeons especially, use it. Kind of helps them concentrate or whatever, or ease the tension. I know dentists now actually have it for themselves and for the patients. So look how interesting that is. You know, it's been known that a number of artists would actually listen to music when they would sculpt. I heard that Leonardo da Vinci was one of those people. He would bring somebody over to strum a couple songs, kind of get him in the right mood or something. Music definitely used for people in the romantic sense. I mean, there's probably a lot of babies out there born just because of a certain group or of a certain song. I know that's not exactly literature, but hey, I'm trying to get all the things I can get out of music, okay? And how it can be creative. And if making a baby is not creative, then I guess I don't know what creative is, all right? So bear with me, okay? All right, and then, of course, music been used for in the martial sense of in warfare. You know, it'd be used to, hey, I'm coming to kill you. Dun, 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 dun. You know, other times it'd be used to make the horses charge. Charge, do, do, do. You know, they would use it for that. Sometimes they would use it as a battle call. Sometimes we use it to end the war or end the battle. So very, very common. I know the Chinese and Mongolians very popular in using that sort of thing. Later on, it became more of a tradition in the British Army, and then in other armies later on, that they would use the various musical forms. So I always found that very interesting, how it just seems to be, you know, everywhere. There's always seems to be music from the ancient Egyptians and the pyramids, you know what I mean, to the Mayans. It always seems to be a musical element of an advanced civilization or any type of civilization. So it seems to be important. And you'll notice that not too far after music came people wanting to write or put down poems or write a history of something, or just they were ready to do something because music, I don't know, almost like it set the mood or set the theme or just set out the whole kit and caboodle of wanting to create, because it just gave you that atmosphere, almost like it gave you like a creative canvas to do your thing on. So I find that music is a very, very important that way. Now, what many people like to do where it concerns music is they will often put something on even before they start writing. It's not like some people will simply say, you know, I'm going to write in quiet, and then if it goes bad, then I'm going to throw some music on to help me. Yeah, so a lot of times people don't use music in a rescue sort of way. It's mostly to begin things. I know that's how I used to do it a lot. When I did some of my principal works in Germany, I'd use Vangelis and other works right from the beginning. Much later in my life, as I can continue to create, I don't use music as much. In fact, I wind up reviewing bands and writing reviews for bands versus doing something with music. I don't know if it's just because I don't need it as much anymore, I've gotten much more proficient at it, or if it's just because it just doesn't seem to be as necessary for me. But I'll still use it now and then. I still think it's important and I still advocate for it, so don't get me wrong. And oftentimes it would help, especially if you're going into a writing session where you already have a notion of what you want to do, then that's a big help. I know for editing, I mean, music is a real great help, and I use it a lot for editing, especially, more than for writing, funny enough. Because it's nice to have something to lean back on when you're stretching yourself out to edit. Because edit is mostly rewriting, but it's much easier than the regular creative process of starting from scratch and having a blank screen or a blank paper in front of you. Because editing, you got stuff there. It's not as hard. It really isn't to stretch out and do something with something that's already there. And music is a real good backdrop to that. And that's really what it is many times. But sometimes it goes in you, the music. It kind of goes in through you and helps you almost like unclog yourself or, get that out of your, whatever was that bone of a contention in your system and get it out of there. It's this way you can move on to something a lot more creative. I find oftentimes music can be more than just a creative friend or a ritual partner in something you're doing. Sometimes music can just be something that's necessary at that moment to sort of like connect you into that train of thought that you wanted to have. And then lots of times, once you get into that creative train of thought and you're moving on and you're doing what you have to do, it's not like you don't even hear the music anymore. You're not even paying attention anymore. It's not even there, even though it's still going, which is great because that's how you arrived where you're supposed to be at. Because that's the whole point of putting on the music in the first place, to help you get to where you're supposed to go, not to continue listening to every single song until the CD is done. You don't want to do that, because then it's like, wow, that's 45 minutes of me getting like 3 words down and still looking at the ceiling. That wouldn't be a successful way of going about with music. But it is still important if you allow it to be important. I like the idea of music, because I always felt, especially with poetry, that it can be a bit musical at times. You get the right rhyme scheme going and the right meter going and the right rhythm of everything. It is in itself a very musical act. It's almost like you wish you had something to go with it. Some people, they'll narrate poems sometimes and put them on YouTube and stuff, and they might even have some music to go with them. Sometimes they might even compose something. It's kind of a neat thing to hear and then hear the poem. So I like the idea a great deal, mainly because it shouldn't be that lonely of a task. I know it's a big romantic, a romantic ritual for some people. I won't call it a myth because I know there's lots of people that write while they're alone, while they're feeling lonely, in loneliness. And I'm saying that's going to happen from time to time, but I'm also saying that you don't have to write that way. You don't have to be in that mood. Sometimes music is a way to not feel as lonely, because it feels like somebody's there with you doing something to let you know that you still matter and that what you're doing is still important, and that at the end of your time creating, or the end of the night, or whatever one comes first, you've done something that was worth you putting in your heart and your tears and your sweat. It was worth it. And music almost kind of gives you that permission to understand that, hey, yeah, this was worth it. This was definitely an experience and something that I'm going to, if not cherish, something I'm going to remember, this day or this evening forward. So that's another thing I like about music, how it can be that type of that personal partner to you, almost like it's alive and saying something to you that needs to be said to you so that you can hear and then therefore listen deeper. Because remember, we have very complicated lives and we live in a very complicated and complex world, all kinds of things going on. They philosophically laugh sometimes that the reason why we don't hear God very much in our lives is because we got too much going on, and we got stuff flying in our heads, and we got all this stuff going on, and in our family and our jobs and our life and driving and this, that, and whatever, and it's just hard to settle down, and therefore you can't hear anything. Well, You know, if you do believe in God and you don't think you can hear God, well, it's probably going to also be hard to hear your conscience or hear that voice that wants you to go someplace for an artistic reason. You know, it's hard to hear that silence, that calm that you need in order to get some of these things done, because we live in such a hectic world where everything is crazy. Outside of your house, a silence would be a dangerous thing. You know, especially at 10 o'clock in the morning, everything's silent. That wouldn't be good. So it's almost like we expect it to not be silent. We expect the noise. Sometimes maybe we even welcome the noise. It kind of wakes us up to the day. But we certainly don't wake it. We don't wish it anything towards the end of the day. You know, we wish that, you know, things start settling down. And our own temperature settles down. And our own hearing can focus more. And our own vision, you know, the vision inside your mind, the one that helps you visualize things, whether it's words on a screen and in your mind that you can see, or if it's just the images or the feelings that you want to be able to put down and navigate around in order to get what you want to get done. And that's what I like about music so much. It really helps you in a way, give you the breathing room, gives you enough time to reorganize things, to put things in the proper order, so that's way you're ready to go. It sets everything in motion that allow you to create. And I don't know if a lot of you use music as a way to, you know, to scuttle writer's block or to eliminate it, or at least to partially control it. It's a good idea to do. It actually does help, and it's one of the remedies that I would recommend. In fact, later on I'm going to do a show on writer's block. It's one of the first shows I'm going to do that lots of people seem to recommend. So I'll be doing that for the first time, doing a show that someone recommends that will be interesting on a topic that I guess folks are really interested in, writer's block. So I'll be happy to do so. But yes, it is one of a number of, I would call, remedies to help writer's block is music. Now, I don't know anything about somebody actively getting an instrument and maybe playing it or doing something with it before they start writing, because I don't have any instrumental skill at all. None. You know, I don't even want to hit a piano key. It's probably going to sound like complete horror. So I'm not saying that that can't be done. I just don't have any real experience about that angle on music. So maybe that's something that could help or that could be interesting. But I just don't know too many writers that actually can play an instrument. I know very few. But I'm sure it would work with that. So I'm going to still talk about it on the show is, you know, the music of putting in a compact disc in the machine or downloading something interesting to hear, because that's my experience and it has been my entire life. So if you do and you do have the talent for that, go do it. I'm not saying you can't. I just don't know how that really works, that really helps or not. I would think it would since it's music, but I don't know if the act of doing it itself, does it, you know, get you creative in another direction? Does it shut that other thing down because you have to do something creative with music that's different than writing? Those are questions I don't really have any answers for. So if anybody else do, let me know. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm going to put this out there until I find somebody, but I've been trying to get a hold of somebody from Alaska, somebody that writes. I like to know about the 6 days, 6 months of night and 6 months a day and how that affects the creative process. I'm interested to do a show on that. So if you know anybody that's in Alaska that can talk about that, let me know, because I like to get them on. They need to be from there so we can really get something interesting going on that. But I think that'd be a really fascinating topic. So if you know anybody, you know, send them over my way. You know our address here, strengthtobehuman@ravemail.com, okay? All right, back to the music. I can imagine what music there must be over in Alaska, though. Listening to that and having the night all the time for 6 months, or night all the time, or day all the time for 6 months. And music on top of that. Whew, how interesting that would be. But think about it. You'll find, and this is, I found fascinating, you'll find people like Evangelos or some other instrumentalists that they read books. They understand lots of about different parts of art, especially writing. So it's funny that they may be deriving some kind of inspiration from reading stuff from writers, putting out music, and then we're over there deriving inspiration from their music back into writing. I don't know if that's a full circle or, you know, just a cycle in itself, but I find it enormously interesting how that can get done. I like Vangelis, though, because he has more of a sort of a space theory. He likes to think music comes from the cosmos, and so he likes to be interested in that and write about lots of things that have to do with space. That gives him a lot of, mental inspiration on how he puts his stuff together. So I that's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm not saying that that can't be true. I mean, you think about it. There's got to be sounds out there being made by stars and other planets and maybe one day even, you know, spaceships from another galaxy. So why not? I think it's pretty interesting, and I definitely think it's possible and feasible. But I still like the whole, cycle of things, you know? You don't hear that as much from other artists that maybe paint or sculpt, you know. Maybe they make jewelry. I don't know if they read as much as maybe somebody who does as much music. So I like that connection, how we all seem to be feeding into each other to help each other to become very creative people. I know that it was quite common in Japan, especially during the days of the Shogun and the ninjas, that you would sit there and you would do some of your calligraphy to write a poem, usually a haiku. You're doing the ink into the little, you know, sheath over there and doing it. And then they were listening to some kind of music being played. So there was a whole in harmony with nature and music and the physical art of writing, because it was the art of writing. They were writing it in very artistic ways and writing poems that's supposed to have some deep philosophical meaning that maybe could be used to talk to the villagers about, or the special people of the court, or maybe even just other artists. They really had it down, the Japanese, on understanding all those things intertwine. I find that really fascinating, if someone can sit there and do all that. And I wonder, in a way, that's what we're doing, you know. I in a weird take aside over here, and you'll find this pretty, I think it's pretty fascinating. The French were wondering, since the older form of the old record players, the 78s, you know, it was a sound crafted through the needle, and the needle would transport those tones and carve it into the record, right? And then you play it back and with another needle and you hear it. And the French had figured out that, hey, why not check this out? Why don't we get some of this pottery we found, spin it, hit it with a laser beam, and hear what we had to say. And they did. They actually heard the gossip talk of ancient Egyptian from the ladies that were making the pottery. You know, hey, that guy wasn't all that great, and you know, in bed, and this lady is being an idiot, and blah, 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 and the pharaoh's a big jerk, and, you know, I mean, they're just saying all kinds of court gossip stuff as they were making the pottery, because as the pottery was spinning, their voice was going into there, and it kept their conversations in there, and their talk alive inside the clay, and they just had to spin it back with a laser beam and get to hear that. So it's incredible how music can be held into objects and played back thousands of years later and have something interesting to say about humanity or the human condition or just this information out there in general. So I'm hoping that we can find more of that as we go by and see what's going on. Maybe we'll hear some ancient aliens talk on some pottery one day. We will help them build this pyramid, you know, something like that. It'd be kind of neat. Maybe not, but it would be kind of interesting to hear if we can learn anything new, you know, from these folks that are doing this kind of pottery. But that just shows you how the voice can become a writing instrument in itself, especially against the spinning clay and the millennia that goes by and captures it. So it could be just as important as any poem we write, but that in itself is a type of a music. And I'm always excited to hear those kind of stories, because you never know. what can be held, what can be learned from the walls or the wood. Or you never know if we can come to devices one day to help us get the walls to speak to us, playing things that's heard over the hundreds of years. How interesting would that be to hear that kind of stuff, you know? To hear maybe what Abraham Lincoln had to really think about things and how much stress and everything he went through. And somebody was definitely interested in hearing the music because he was by the depressed and melancholy of a guy as you can. You know, every time he's trying to do something, the country's exploding every 5 minutes. And the kind of stress he had to deal with. And his wife also having all kinds of psychological problems, child dying. I mean, it's just a lot of rough stuff. Imagine being able to listen to that and hear something different and interesting. I like that. I think it would be fascinating to hear something about that. It really would be. Music. It could really transport you to another place. Sometimes it does that better than us doing it ourselves when we're trying to get to that place so that we can record our thoughts or our feelings or the things we see and the things that we hear in those other zones of our mind and heart. So sometimes music is that vehicle. We jump in it and we just drive away to get over there. So it makes it a very, very special instrument. And I think we should learn to use it more and definitely be respectful of how critical it can be for us to become all that we want to be. Because, you know, we're going to have days. You know, I'm sure you've had days. I've had days where it's like, man, I want to write something. I feel something interesting, but I'm physically not there. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't have the interest to physically do it, even though I feel inside I'm supposed to be doing something. And sometimes music just helps you put you right back on track. You know what I mean? It's like that sonic caffeine to pump you up just enough to bring you where you need to be at. So music can be very important for that. And we need to really be respectful and try to use it the best we can whenever we can. I'm not suggesting you use it all the time. Some people do, and I've got nothing against that. Some people don't use it very much at all. But the ones that do, they find some real relief from it, and that's really important. I would think it would be more particularly important for those of us that suffer through post-stress, that have issues with depression or anxiety, that it could be helpful to help lower that so that we can get through our day of being creative, because the last thing you want to do is have yourself stop you from being the creative person you're supposed to be. There's nothing more frustrating, and there's nothing more that will, I think, betray the trust that you have in what you can accomplish with your own talent. So I'm always excited to hear when people have various, you know, music stories. I'll share you a couple of them that people have shared with me. You might find them interesting, I would hope. Okay. All right, so one time I was in Germany, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm mentioning to him about that. Yeah, I mean, I lived in the town of Landstuhl, and Landstuhl had a castle at the top of it that was over 900 years old. So, I mean, it was already four times older than the United States birth, you know? And I went up there, hung out with a girl for a little while. Nothing weird, just having fun up there. You know, we brought up a couple of drinks and just checked it out. There's a small dungeon down there. There's a couple of cool things to see. You know, it's older. It's not decked out with all the fancy stuff of a castle. It's, you know, pretty much abandoned, you know, but it, you know, it's still a tourist site. And I really liked it a lot. And, I had a walkman with me, and this is way before phones and all that other stuff. God, just like I think 85 or 86. You know, in West Germany. And I played back some music that I had in there. I think it was something from Yes, something that was instrumental from them, just because I was listening to it at one point. Sometimes I listen to instrumental music when I go running, and I was, you know, I was running earlier that day. So I played it in there, and it had a weird effect. It had a weird echo to it. It sounded a little bit more, you know, haunting, almost. It gave it an extra creepy boost. And I was talking to her about it, and she's like, "This is creeping me out." I'm like, "Okay." So I stopped it. You know, we went back. And then the next day, I'm talking to my friend about this, and he's like, "Dude, we should try to do something more more creative with the music and see what kind of weird stuff we can get out of that. I'm like, dude, I got a lot of stuff to do, and playing music in a creepy castle to get a creepy effect wasn't really my idea of spending good time, so no. But he went over and did it, and he told me he had some weird vibes from it, and he liked it a lot. He thought it was like a cool, creepy experience. He's one of those guys, he likes some weird experience things. I'm like, that's okay. I've seen The Exorcist, and I like to keep this stuff over where it belongs, not over here. But he found something instrumental with it, something that made him think about something creative. And he liked to draw, so he drew a lot of weird pictures and like ghostly people hanging out in the castle. And I'm like, oh boy. So that's what he got out of that. So that's one of my creepy stories. I had another one where I'm running on a 5 mile stretch along the highway up there. It's a long path up, and then eventually you go back down, and go home from there. And it was in the daytime. And I was listening to some music, and I guess I hadn't really monitored the fact that the batteries, I should have been changing them before I went on the trip, but I didn't. I didn't remember. So not even halfway through it, I mean, the battery started like going. So then the music was like, blah, 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 all like that. I'm like, oh God, who wants to hear this? You know, but eventually I didn't shut it off. I just kept listening to it because I just thought it was funny to hear these blah, 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 and everything. I mean, it was strange, you know. And then later on when I got back, took a shower, kind of settled in. Sometimes I would do some writing or do some creative things after taking a big run, especially if I didn't have anything pressing that evening, or if I wasn't going on a tourist trip someplace or a date or something. And then when I was listening to some music, it was on my stereo system, you know, plugged in. And I could have sworn a couple of times I heard those weird kind of noises again, almost like they were coming back. I'm like, wow, this is completely creepy because I haven't even hit the brandy yet. And I'm like, I'm already hearing weird things. So I'm like, next time I'm not going to do that because it seems like that weirdness was following me there for a little while. So don't know if the spirit tones out there were following me home, but I really wasn't happy with that at all. That's just too creepy. And then another instance I had, I'm listening to some music, I'm trying to be creative. It didn't work out that evening, so I said, to hell with it, I'm going to throw in for the night. And I wound up having some interesting dreams that seemed to be musical related. And I got up later that night, and I was sweating and tired, and I wound up doing some more creative stuff. I think I wrote a couple of essays, actually, about writing, not really poems. But it was all music and dream and just strangely related. I was smoking cigarettes back then, so I probably smoked about 95 of them before I got done, like 2 in the morning. So, boy, those were the days. But I still like the fact that music still seemed to play such a big part of everything I was doing over there. It really did. And in my studying and in my writing, certainly in my dating, sometimes we go to clubs, there's always going to have some music there. That was always fun. And of course, just in the creative process itself. So I'm definitely an advocate for it. Do I understand all the stuff around it? No, I don't. I don't have some magical formula that mentions anything about it, other than the fact that even before we could put two words together, music seems to get the attention of the baby. Like suddenly, what's that? So there is something very mystical about music in human beings. I think animals have certain reactions too, but there's something really interesting about it, how we respond to it, you know. I remember putting the speaker in my wife's stomach and pumping in some music so this way the kid will understand things, you know. I put Styx in there, the song from Styx, and he likes Styx. I don't know if there's a coincidence now, 10 years later. But he seems to really like those songs and sings them with me. So, and that's way, way, way before his time. So maybe it does work that it transfers over there. But they say music helps the baby become more more psychologically fit and more mathematically prone. So I was trying to get some math in his brain, so this way he won't mess up in school and I don't have to spend a lot of money on tutors. But there is something about it. If it's not spiritual, it is something that's attuned to us as human beings. It seems to open various pathways, you know, in our minds, that we can see and do things that normally we wouldn't. So it's an important, I guess you could say, lubricant in our system that loosens us up. Better than alcohol in many ways. Certainly safer than alcohol. But there is something very transcendental, as they say, with music, that we can be carried over to another plateau, another place that'll welcome us and help us to become the creative people that we want to become. All right, folks, until next time, thank you very much for joining me, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.